Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Thank you, brother. First, the United States Army for rampant repetitive cultural appropriation. As we have all been learning in the fine seminar by Brother Upsharand, promoting gender equity through emasculatory renaming, finding the ideal names for things is difficult. But just as we are passing the halfway mark in rebranding 9 military installations improperly named for Confederate leaders, it's time to address the other glaring problem: military equipment nicknames that denigrate Native Americans by culturally appropriating their tribal identities. As The Weakest Link recently observed,
named for indigenous American tribes, what type of military aircraft are Apaches, Chinooks, and Comanches?
Airplanes.
Nope, helicopters.
That's correct. But it's far more than just these three names: the Black Hawk, the Cheyenne, the Lakota, the Huron, the Hawkeye, the Mohawk, the Shawnee, the Ute, the Seminole, the Kiowa, the Cayuse, the Creek, and the Iroquois. Can you imagine anything more offensive to indigenous peoples than to steal their tribal names and put them on weapons of war in service of the same national military that decimated those tribes in the first place? We even stole the names of their most unique weapons, calling the Apache the longbow, and of course, the most glaring example, the Tomahawk cruise missile. And to claim that this is a way of honoring the military prowess of the vanquished is really just cover for the way such names reduce Native Americans to the status of violent savages whose only legacy is to be plagiarized as killing machines. No, let us instead find a more suitable category for naming our helicopters, such as perhaps varieties of candy or flowers. The AH-64 Almond Joy, the CH-47 Carnation, the UH-60 Twizzler, and the BGM-109 Daffodil Cruise Missile are all good candidates for the kinder, gentler, and more inclusive Army of the future. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, the Macon Bacon, a collegiate summer league baseball team in Georgia for its disgusting promotion of the most unhealthy of processed meats. As a letter to the team from the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine stated, Macon Bacon's glorification of bacon, a processed meat that raises the risk of colorectal cancer and other diseases, sends the wrong message to fans. Quite sensibly, the letter encouraged renaming the team to the Macon Fakin Bacon to encourage plant-based alternatives and to ditch the stadium's theme of bacon-centric food offerings such as the 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, the Bacon-Wrapped Bacon, Steak Cut Bacon, Bacon-Loaded Mac and Cheese, and Bacon Chips. But tragically, the response from team president Brandon Raphael showed clear unrepentance, saying, "The Macon Bacon will be sizzling forever and will not consider a name change ever." But why is it so vital for us to control what people eat, aside from helping them live longer, less tasty lives? Well, as Moriselli's fifth missive on gustatory fascism teaches, if you want to control the people, start by controlling their stomachs. Simply put, a religion is not a religion without strict dietary codes. And we can't expect people to take our movement seriously if we don't require them to make great sacrifices in taste and pleasure for the cause. So throw down your bacon double cheeseburgers, beat your bacon dogs into tofu bars, and usher in a whole new age of pork-free, low-grade living. To paraphrase a famous Vulcan, live long and suffer. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, major kudos to Kelly Robinson for enduring the slings and arrows at last week's Senate Judiciary hearing on issues of pertinence to the members of the Holy Acronym String. During the 2.5 hours of testimony, Ms. Robinson bravely refused to answer the ridiculous questions of Senator John Kennedy.
And how many genders are there?
I think the gender is expansive and the definitions are always growing.
Are there more than 5?
I wouldn't subject myself to naming how many genders there are.
There's an infinite number of genders?
I think depending on your culture, there are a lot of different genders that exist.
Way to go, Kelly. Good for you for refusing to limit the total number of genders to an actual number. Remember what the third graders learn in Sunday school. The only way to have productive conversations is to never give any yard to your opponent. By providing an actual number, of course, she would have been limiting the wide open possibilities for customized individual expressions of gender identity to an actual set of meaningful ones. Obviously, our goal is to have so many different alternatives for gender that we can make gender a completely meaningless concept while also claiming that gender is one of the most important things about us. But it didn't end there.
Do males have an advantage over females biologically in sports?
It depends.
You don't believe that a biological male has a physical advantage in sports over a biological female?
Not as a definitive statement.
Of course she can't admit this, even though the answer is obvious, because doing so would logically put her in a bind when advocating for transgender women to compete against cisgender women in sports. And thus, Kelly is doing one of the most important things people of the acronym can do. When forced to pick between denying our core principles or abandoning reason and experience, always get rid of reason and experience. People will forget that you were irrational, but they will never forget that you betrayed the cause. Besides, logic is just a tool of the heteronormative patriarchy's oppression of alternate thought styles. And we don't owe an explanation to some old, white, binary straight man from Louisiana. So great work, Kelly Robinson. You keep repeating all the incoherent things we believe until these transphobic politicians give up in sheer frustration. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before we dismiss, I want to remind you that Other and Jesse's Business Opportunity Seminar, From Hemp to Eternity, will begin promptly at midnight of the new moon on July 17th at their secret grow farm north of here. Coordinates may be accessed via the QR code in your bulletin. Refreshments today are provided by our First World Players Imitating Poverty Performance Troupe, who went dumpster diving just this morning in order to bring us the finest freegan foodstuff a person can find. I believe we have 2-day rigatoni, 4-day bread, and a 32-ounce dented can of V8, low salt edition. Please take only what you can keep down. Amoxicillin tablets are available upon request.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.